heart greatly grieves for so many sinners that I know personally and love dearly who are still in the land of Lodabar, the land of no bread, still without God, and have not yet been brought to the King's palace by the Holy Spirit. And we must continue to plead with God for them and hopefully soon see many of them come to the saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I am particularly concerned this morning about those of you who are in our presence who are not saved. We'd love to see you saved. It's been our desire Sunday after Sunday to bring you the gospel and look to the Holy Spirit of God to put that gospel in your heart and a desire in your heart for the Lord Jesus Christ. I know that you'll never have that desire unless God opens your heart and puts it in there. God still saves sinners today just like He always has. He opened Lydia's heart, and then she was able to attain to those things that were being preached by the men of God outside the city of Philippi beside that river. And I hope today that the Spirit of God will open your heart and reveal truth to you and save you for His glory. I want to ask you to take your Bibles and turn with me, please, this morning to Isaiah chapter 5. Isaiah chapter 5. In a moment I want to read one verse of Scripture. I won't get through this morning. I'll come back, God willing, this evening and try to pick up the thought again. My subject today is freedom from unbelief. Freedom from unbelief. In our study today, I'd have you to understand the bondage of unbelief. A lot of people don't realize that they are slaves to unbelief. The Bible speaks of two kinds of people in the world, believers and unbelievers. If you are not yet converted, no matter what you may think about God in your mind, no matter what you may think about the Bible and salvation and eternity and such, the Bible calls you an unbeliever. God's Word puts you in that category. You are an unbeliever. And when we read such verses as Revelation 21 and 8, where He tells us, He gives us a list of people who will be in hell in the lake of fire. He said, the fearful and unbelieving, people who are in that category, who do not believe in their heart upon the Lord Jesus Christ, trust in Him fully for their salvation, for deliverance from sin. They who have not given up this world and the things that are in the world, who are still in love with the world and still in love with their own life and the building of their own kingdom and doing their own thing in this world. God says you're an unbeliever, and whether you'll have it or not, you're bound and you're shackled by the cords of unbelief. And I want you to understand today that freedom don't come to you until by the grace of God, God grants you faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Faith is a gift of God. It's not of works. It's not something you can work up. I hear people talk about, well, you just need to simply believe. But the truth of the matter is, you cannot believe unless God gives you faith, unless God enables you to believe. You'll never be able to believe savingly upon the Lord Jesus Christ. You may have an intellectual assent. You may be able in your mind to believe certain things about God, the Lord Jesus, and such. But the Bible tells us it's an issue of the heart. The problem is in the heart. And in heaven, you have a bad heart in the eyes of God and a bad record in heaven. I think it's Job that tells us. And all of this stems from the sin of unbelief. You're an unbeliever. and you're bound to that terrible sin. You may find it shocking to discover that unbelief is a chain that holds men captive. Now, that's just the opposite of what sinners have always believed. They thought that belief in God, surrender to God, obedience to God makes slaves of men. That's what sinners think. That's what you think. That's one reason you won't come to the Lord Jesus Christ. You think that it'll make you a slave. A slave to God. A slave to the Bible. And you don't want no part of that. You don't want to be bound in the straitjacket of religion. You see, that's what we're talking about. You like the idea of free thought. You say, I'm a free thinker, preacher. I'm a person who makes my own decisions. I believe in free will, freedom of expression, freedom of imagination, freedom of ideas, the forming of my own opinions. I like that, preacher. And the reaching of my own conclusions. You see, preacher, I believe in myself. I believe in my own abilities, my own ability to think for myself. I believe in my own intellect, my own wisdom, my own understanding. I'm kind of, you see, my own man. I'm my own woman. I do as I please. And I don't like to be interfered by religion. They say I can't give in to those Christian beliefs because I know that my life will be greatly affected. Well, you're absolutely right, it will. It will be greatly affected. But you say, I don't want that. I don't want that to happen. I don't want my life to be altered. I don't want to feel oppressed or cornered or hemmed in and suppressed and enslaved and confined and caged. Well, if I were to bow to the Lord Jesus Christ, then I would feel as incarcerated and confined as a prisoner in solitary. I'm just telling you, that's the way lost people think. And I know that because that's the way I thought. And their song is, and forever will be, born free as the wind blows. That's their song. And they believe that. And they resent preachers of the gospel and Christians that won't be silent about their faith. They say those people are pushy. They're pushy. Those interferers are pushy. And I don't like to be pushed. And you're trying to take my freedom from me. And that's another reason that many of them, not all of them, but many of them, their attendance at the house of God is very sporadic. It's very spread out, you know. They kind of pick and choose coming because they don't want to hear that message. Every message sounds pushy to them. And it sounds like it's trying to chain them, to confine them. You see, that's what they think about Christianity. It's a prison house. But their life of sin is freedom. That's the way they feel about it. Give me liberty or give me death. Now that's their battle cry against God. And these blind sinners don't understand that their unbelief is a chain, that it's a prison, that it's stocks that holds them fast in the grip of their depravity. They don't understand that they're not free at all. I want to tell you something, dear lost soul. Every time I look at you, I'm looking through the bars, and I'm not the one confined, you are. I'm seeing you shut up in your own personal prison house. You're a slave to your wicked nature. You're a slave to your sin. And you can't get out. You can't even want to get out. You're locked up. You're confined. You're limited in your space. You are a slave to the devil. You're a slave to the world. You're a slave to the fashions of this world, to the language of this world. You're a slave to the speed of this world that's headed for hell they're hell bound with a hammer down. And you're a slave to that. You're caught up in that. You can't get out of it. You can't even want to get out of it. And your boast that you are free are as absurd as the insane man who mocks the insanity of others. But then here comes Isaiah the prophet with this eye-opening statement in Isaiah 5 in verse number 18. He said, "Woe unto them that draw iniquity with cords of vanity, and sin as it were with a cart rope. Woe unto them that draw iniquity with cords of vanity, and sin as it were with a cart rope." Isaiah had been warning Israel of the consequences of their sins. The great invasion that was about to take place in Israel, where many of them would be slain and many others would be carried away into captivity. But they refused to heed the warning. As a matter of fact, they progressed in their sins by mocking the prophet. Look at verse 19. They said, "Well, you say that we're going to be carried away into captivity." Look what they said, verse 19. "Let him make speed. Let God make speed and hasten his work that we may see it. Let the counsel of the Holy One of Israel draw nigh and come that we may know it." You see, they didn't believe Isaiah's warning, and so they mocked him. The people said, "Bring it on. God's going to punish us with captivity. Well, let's get with it. Let's see it." They didn't believe the message that the man of God was preaching. God had burdened Isaiah's heart because of the spiritual condition that Israel was in. And brother, when a man of God is burdened, he can't stand in the pulpit and crack jokes. He cannot be a comedian and entertain the people. He's got to get in that pulpit and warn them with tears, with a broken heart, brother, that they are in serious trouble with God. And that's what Isaiah did. And that's what all the prophets of God did. Brother, while many these false prophets were preaching sunshine and rain and everything's turning up roses, God's men were on the scene, brother, and they were preaching the truth of God and warning those sinners to repent. Now, which one of that crowd, the false prophets or the men of God, which one really loved the people, cared for the people, and were sent by God? You know, it was the men of God. But here's the unfortunate response that sinners have to God's threats when the hardness of their hearts and their sins set in them. Their heart gets harder and harder. The more they hear, the harder their hearts get as they reject the truth of God. I dare say there may be folks sitting right here in this place today who's heard so much truth that it's just like water running off of a duck's back. It cannot sink in to their conscience, and it does not get a hold of their heart. If they are moved at all, it's just for a moment, just temporary. Time they get back to the car in the parking lot, at least before they get back home, they've already forgot about what they heard in the pulpit. And they continue on their merry way to hell. Many can't wait to get back, to cut on the TV, to get the preaching out of their mind and out of their heart and out of their conscience. They can't wait, beloved, to forget about. That's why we've got to be careful hearers, to hear the Word of God and to lay hold to it, and it lay hold of us. Listen, friends, they who refuse to repent early only get harder. We've all seen how the sinner's unbelief progressively hardens them and emboldens them and bolsters their confidence and sharpens their tongue for blasphemy and for mockery. Many years ago, I was witnessing to a young man and warning him to flee the wrath of God and trying to tell him of Christ crucified. And we were there in a crowd of his buddies, his peers. And of course, you know, he had to make light of it and mock and make fun. And he said, "Oh, I want to go to hell." And he'd laugh a little bit. And then he'd say to one of his buddies, "Don't you want to go to hell?" "I want to go to hell," he'd say. He's just laughing and mocking and making fun. And that man died early in life. And I never saw any evidence that it came from the Lord Jesus Christ. You ought to be careful about what you say, beloved. God may hold you to your word and give you what you ask for. But I tell you, friend, when people will not see the gospel, they ain't but one thing left. They've rejected the gospel. And you can't sit on these church pews Sunday after Sunday and hear the truth of God and ignore it. Let it go in one ear after the other without suffering the fatal consequences of it. You're going to pay for it. To hear truth and to shrug it off is a dangerous thing to do. Up in Alaska, they've got some towns and villages that are remote. It's absolutely impossible to get to them during the summertime. But only when the winter would come in and those lakes would begin to freeze over. And those, first of all, those lakes would have just a thin sheet of ice on the top of them. I've seen some lakes around here with that thin sheet of ice. As the temperature maintains a low degree and even plunges lower, that ice begins to thicken. And after a while, they're able to drive on that ice. They can drive those roads down to those remote villages and towns and carry in supplies. I'll tell you, my beloved, the longer the sinner persists in his unbelief, and the deeper that he plunges into his reckless sinning, the harder that he gets. The harder in conscience, the harder in hearts. It's not long till you're like a frozen lake in Alaska. That's the illustration that Isaiah uses that I want to use here today and tonight, God willing. Verse 18. He said, "Woe unto them that draw iniquity with cords of vanity, and sin as it were with a cart rope." Isaiah said, you think you're free, but you're not. And the thing that now has you bound, he said, is going to bring you to even another bondage, another captivity. Now the outline is easy to see in verse number 18. We see three things: the cart, the cargo, and the cord. And let this picture begin to take shape in your mind here this morning. Here is a loaded cart being pulled, not by oxen, not by horses, not by mules or longhorns, not by any animal, but they are being pulled by men. All kinds of men from all ranks in the society of Isaiah's day. Princes, judges, merchants, farmers, noblemen, commoners. Each one pulling or dragging his own weighty cart, loaded with an ever-increasing cargo. The further they pull it, the more weighty it becomes, because they keep adding to that cargo, adding to the cart, putting more and more on that cart. And they're pulling it, he said, with strong cords or ropes by which they are harnessed to this cart. Now, what is the cart? And what is the cargo? And what is the strong cord? What's this illustration all about? Well, let me say to you that this cart is each man's life. Its cargo, Isaiah tells us, is iniquity, sin, perversion, twistedness, all kinds of offenses against God. All piled up in this cart, in man's life, being dragged along by the sinner every day. And so the cords and the ropes that harness these men to those loads of sin are their own fallen evil natures and lust and evil desires that holds them in bondage. Picture it now. A man, not a donkey, not a mule, but a man. And he's harnessed up to a cart. And that cart is loaded, it's packed, and it's heavy. And he's pulling, he's dragging it everywhere he goes. But the whole time, he's singing, I'm a free man. I'm a free man. I do as I please. I live like I want to live. I am a free man. And he's pulling this cart that's loaded down. The cart is his life. The load, the cargo, are all of his sins and iniquities. And those straps that has him bound, those ropes are the heavy chains of his own wicked nature. He's an evil man. He does what he does because he's bound to lust, to concupiscence, to all kinds of sin, of lust. A wicked nature is pulling this man along. They think they're free, but they're not. They're bound, they're harnessed, as it were, to their sins, which they drag along with them every single day. I tell you, that breaks my heart. To see people in such bondage in our day, and they don't even know it. Why don't you quit that? They can't. They're in bondage to it. Why don't you give that up? Why don't you stop loving that? They can't. They're tied to it. They're in love with it. And you can't break those chains. How many parents see their teenage children out in this world wandering about with all of the dope traffic and the hell movies and the ungodly rock music and everything else that they could easily be addicted to. The pornography. All kind of filth. And you see that. It's heartbreaking. What's the illustration here? He said cords of vanity are mentioned. Twisted twine. Interwoven for strength. Cords that, as they're used, progressively turns into something stronger and more binding. A cart rope. The harness by which the cart is pulled. Each person is bound to his own cart. His own life loaded with iniquity and sin, as if they are all one. That is, the sin and the people. And they drag it along with them everywhere that they go. Now this is a condition to which all sinners are positioned and confined, constrained, held in bondage. We see it every day. We see it in every generation. They say, I don't want to be a believer. I like my freedom. I like to come and go as I will. I don't want to be incarcerated behind the bars of Scripture. They look at this Bible as a chain or as a prison house. I don't want to be a slave to the Almighty. I prefer not to even believe in God because, you know, that would entangle me and take away my lightheartedness, my calmness and serenity. I don't want to honor God. I don't want to seek God. I don't want to find God. I don't want to obey God. I don't want to live for God. I just want to live for myself. I want to live for the moment. I want to live for the here and now. Here's the attitude. Now, they may say it, they may not say it, but I'm satisfied this is the attitude that's being presented, even by sinners right here on the church pews today. I love the freedom of either an atheistic mentality or believing in a God of my own design. Some people say they believe in God, but they're practical atheists. Every day they live as if there is no God. As if they do not believe that there is a God. And if they say, I believe in God, but they don't live like there is a God, their words, their lips are not matching their walk. Or either the God that they believe in is a God that they have made up for themselves. It's not the God of the Bible. Not the true and living God of this book. And so these people just keep on dragging their cart of iniquity and sin with them. A cart to which they unknowingly are bound, and they drag it up the hills of their lives, across the deep valleys of their lives, and farther on out into their old age, their senior years. If God allows them to live so long, and then they finally drag it on out into eternity with them. These ropes keep us bound to an offensive lifestyle, a lifestyle that is futile, useless, meaningless, purposeless, pointless, and wasted. A life given over to sin. What a waste. What a waste that is. I see these young girls in these days, and I'm not trying to be ugly or smart, but going into these tattoo parlors and having their bodies marked up. And young boys, they got to carry that with them. It's just the fruit of their wicked nature being displayed. And people going in and out of these massage parlors. That's not a massage parlor. You know what that is well as I do. What a waste. Many have died in the service of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's not a tragedy. But treasuring a life of sin above Jesus Christ, that is a tragedy. And to die like that proves to be an incomprehensible loss. To die in your sin. When old Puritan said, I'd rather die in a ditch like a dog than to die in my sin. Rather die eat up with cancer than die in my sin. Amen. And the Lord Jesus said, for what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? The Bible, John Piper said, don't teach us how to avoid a wounded life, but it does teach us how to avoid a wasted life. And that only comes when we're unhitched from this cart of sin and iniquity that we've been dragging around with us all of our lives. Only then are we truly free. But the poor blind sinner thinks that belief in God is an encumbrance. It's a nuisance. It's a burden. A loaded cart that would impede their steps and keep them from making the progress that they want to make in this world, climbing the social ladder, making money, making it big, gaining more ground in this world. They look at belief in God as being a boulder, an obstacle that would get in their way, hindering their progress in this world. But Isaiah's illustration says just the opposite. It's your cartload of sin, your rejection of God, your ignoring Him, offending Him, your desire to live without Him. This is the burdensome life. And to be set free from that is the great blessing that God offers every sinner who would be interested in truly living free. God never has saved a sinner until He got them at a place to where they were just sick of it all, fed up with it all, tired of it all. God never has saved any sinner till He first put in them a bitter taste for their sin and a holy hatred for their sin. I've said many times, beloved, God has never had to hold a shotgun wedding. He's never had to save anybody against their will. He does a major work on that twisted, warped, fallen will. Brother, He creates hunger in that sinner. A hatred for sin and a hunger for holiness. God puts it in you to want to come out from among the world, to be separate, to not join in with their wicked fun and games anymore. God puts it in you to want to be a new creature, a new creation, to walk a different walk and live a different life and hang with different people. God puts it in you to do it. And until He does, you'll continue to go to hell just like you are. Amen. Thank God for the blessed day that He put it in my heart to want to get out of the confinements of sin. To want to get out and get free. Thank God for the day when I looked and saw the things that I was involved in that were offending God. And I looked at it through the eyes of God. And I saw it for what it really was. And begin to hate it and despise it and want to get free from it. When I got in that shape and got so desperate for God to deliver me because I couldn't do it myself, that's when my hero came. Praise God, that's when it came to me and delivered me from my sins. And you know, that was about 38, 39 years ago. And I ain't never been sorry. Praise God. I've been so glad. Hallelujah. Oh, what sweetness. What glory. What joy unspeakable. What contentment and satisfaction that I have found in the person of Jesus Christ. Until then, I don't care what the devil put in front of me. It just would not fill me up. I left that place still, brother, void and empty. And I had to hurry and find me some more, get me some more, sin some more, live some more in sin and iniquity. I just couldn't get enough. I couldn't get contented and satisfied.
But oh, praise God when the Lord said, come and dine. Hallelujah. Oh, I tell you, praise God, I found something at the table of the Lord. Amen. I found something at the table of the Lord. Oh, that tasted sweeter than anything the devil's ever put in front of me. I found something more satisfying and contenting. Brother, I tell you, I know what it is to push back from the table of the Lord and pick my spiritual teeth and enjoy what I just ate. Praise God. Woo! I tell you, it's joy to be saved. It's good to know God. Be set free. Praise the Lord. Blessed day, blessed day. The day that God turned the key. Hallelujah. Opened up the door and said, come on out. Praise God. And I got on the outside, first time I'd ever been out, Brother Ariel. I'd been confined all my life. But I come out of there, brother. And for the first time, I was able to stretch my hands out, praise God. And I said, this is freedom. Yeah. This is wonderful. Amen. Oh, glory to God. I tell you, I've been where you are. And maybe even a little bit further than you've been in your sin. I've been out there, and I've drank from the devil's cup. And I've eaten the devil's bread. I tell you, brother, I've been out there. I know where you are, and I know how it feels. I'll tell you, by the wonderful grace of God, and God revealing truth in me, and God saving me and delivering me by His mighty power, if there was an exit to it, I wouldn't want to take it. Hallelujah. There's not one, but if there was, I just wouldn't want to. I'm glad I'm in. I'm glad I'm in. I don't have to sit around and debate and make up my mind when it's church time. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I don't have to sit around and discuss it with my wife. Hallelujah, brother. When it's time to give. When it's time to live. When it's time to worship. When it's time to pray. That's already settled. That was settled, praise God, a long time ago. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. We will, praise God. Amen. If at any time I detect a little bit of slipping in Susie, I'll discuss it with her. And if at any time she detects a little slipping in me, she'll discuss it with me, brother. We got to have a house where God feels at home 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. I'm not going to offend Him by cutting on Conway Twitty and that bunch. Amen. Oh, praise God, brother. A new creature. A new creation. A free man. A free man. Praise the Lord. I've eaten a lot of apples these days. Never have been much of a fruit eater. Should have been, they tell me. But I've started eating a lot of apples. And I got to where I really like them. I found some that's... I like it. I don't like it mushy. I like it firm and juicy, sweet. I located some, Brother Bill, Sister Dorothy, in Walmart. Praise God. Boy, they're good. Them gala apples. They're really good. Let me tell you what I found out when I was a lost man. Every apple the devil gave me had a worm in it. Every one of them had a worm in it. God never has given me an apple with a worm in it. Praise God. Glory to God. I rejoice in being free.
They said that on the tombstone of Martin Luther King, "Free at last, free at last. Thank God Almighty, I'm free at last." I don't know about him, but praise God, I didn't have to wait till I died to get free. Amen. I'm free now. God has set me free. And you can jump on me anytime you want to about worshiping God out loud. I'm going to worship Him out loud because I'm free. Amen. I'm like that guy said he went to the ball game and said he just kept a hollering and a screaming and cheering his team on, and one young man came to the batter's box and was fixing to bat, and that guy jumped up and hollered, "Hit it, son, hit it!" And the guy behind him said, "Oh, shut up, sit down." And that man turned around, looked at him, said, "You shut up, I paid my dollar." I'm free, folks, to worship my great and glorious God and to praise His holy name, to sing out loud to Him, amen, and to preach and scream and holler. I'm free. But I am free to live without the devil, the world, and the flesh. I don't need their entertainment. When it's time to live, when it's time to worship, when it's time to pray, that's already settled. That was settled, praise God, a long time ago. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. We will, praise God. Amen. If at any time I detect a little bit of slipping in Susie, I'll discuss it with her. And if at any time she detects a little slipping in me, she'll discuss it with me, brother. We got to have a house where God feels at home 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. I'm not going to offend Him by cutting on Conway Twitty and that bunch. Amen. Oh, praise God, brother. A new creature. A new creation. A free man. A free man. Praise the Lord. I've eaten a lot of apples these days. Never have been much of a fruit eater. Should have been, they tell me. But I've started eating a lot of apples. And I got to where I really like them. I found some that's... I like it. I don't like it mushy. I like it firm and juicy, sweet. I located some, Brother Bill, Sister Darcy, in Walmart. Praise God. Boy, they're good. Them gala apples. They're really good. Let me tell you what I found out when I was a lost man. Every apple the devil gave me had a worm in it. Every one of them had a worm in it. God never has given me an apple with a worm in it. Praise God. Glory to God. I rejoice to be free. Hallelujah. If God will let us, when we come back this evening, I want to consider these ropes. This is where I've been trying to get, and I hadn't got time this morning. But I want to consider these ropes that has sinners harnessed to that cart that's loaded with sin that they're dragging around with them everywhere they go. And there are four of them in particular. I've given them names that I want to look at. And see what this is that's got men so bound down and women so bound down. And I mean so tight that you cannot get free from it. The knot has been soaked and saturated, you can't untie it. You can't even want to untie it. Heavenly Father, I want to thank you, Lord, that you've said in your word, whom the Son sets free is free indeed. And the truth, you said, will make us free. We want to thank you, God, for salvation, for deliverance, for freedom that comes by the Lord Jesus Christ. We're pleading with you, Father, to put the desire in the prisoner's heart to want to get out of jail, to want to get out of confinement, to want to be free. Oh God, we plead with you. Even we as your sheep, we know, Lord, that even now, often, because of the wicked nature that is yet with us, we still are longing for that, for salvation complete. The time will come, Lord, when all the ransomed church of God are saved to sin no more. And Lord, I believe that that's a great hope in the heart of all of your people. I plead with you now, Father, to plant your word in hearts and bring forth fruit to the praise of your own glory, for Jesus' sake, in his name. Amen.